Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside
with Don and Jan. Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 249 on November the 5th.
And 249 is something to hoot about. Because yes, there's one more to go, and that's this one.
This one before the big 250. And we want to invite everyone to tune in next week. We have invited anyone and everyone that's been a guest on Creekside with Don and Jan to join us for a celebration on Saturday before the big show.
The big shoe.
And we're ideally going to have all of them say a few words, and we'll reminisce and we'll record that and then share that on the 250th episode next Sunday. So we've got such a wide array of past guests from such a diverse set of interests and experiences that even if a few of them share their insights, we'll have an interesting show by default, Don.
Well, when you said a diverse group of people, that doesn't come really anywhere near close enough to describing the people that we've had on our podcast.
Oh, I know.
Or
it's amazing.
Our friend set. We have got some really cool friends, and we've got some eclectic friends.
Mm-hmm. Near and far.
Right. And there's not, you know, is there a common thread between all of them besides us?
The Owl Creek Gazette, which is us. And I think so. I think most of them view self-reliance as important. They may, and sustainability. I think they may come to that in different ways, and they may see how to approach that in different ways. But I think they are out-of-the-box thinkers. I think they're creative. I think they're willing to put their toe in the water when other people might not be and say, I'm going on in.
Come on in, the water's fine.
Yeah, and even if you don't, we're going to have fun in the water ourselves. I just think that that's it. They're unique, independent thinkers, and we've been fortunate to meet them through the magazine or through other endeavors that we felt enough of a kinship, we could contact them and say, would you like to be on the show or would you write an article for the magazine? And so, yeah, I would say that thread, that common thread is independence and self-reliance and passion. I think they're passionate people that come on our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got a bit of bad news, well, at least some news to share with you on one of our friends who is a past guest on the show.
And a current writer for the Owl Creek Gazette.
Right. Keith Ford is dealing with, evidently, some sort of a house fire that he had down in Houston, Missouri, in their homestead down yonder in the sticks. Well, I mean, and he writes, his book series is The Impoverished Homesteader. And so Houston, Missouri is where that is. And evidently, he's had to have the fire company come out and put out some blaze, and the damage was, at last report, pretty severe. And all of the livestock is accounted for except for a cat, which may have just run off.
Right, and he's okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, okay is relative in the sense that I imagine you lose something like that and you experience something like that, you're far from okay, but he's physically all right. He wasn't injured, we don't.
Exactly, he was not injured. Right. But, yeah, so that's one. Two, I've not heard the status of a friend of ours, not a podcast friend of ours, but a ham radio friend of mine specifically. Jim Tybolt has gone through some open heart surgery today and had some emergency surgery. And so we're waiting to get some word on that. So
yeah.
What a bummer. What a bummer of a day. Remember the 5th of November.
Right. It's a bummer of a day. And on the flip side, then I've been fortunate to...
You've had a marvelous day out here with your girl crew.
Right. The Owl Riders. And by that, it's not Owl Creek Gazette, but it is Older Women's Legacy Memoir Writing Workshop mm-hmm. that we've been having. We talked a little bit about that on the podcast before. But these women, and I think I described them as a tad over 50 and just shy of 90, that's the age range, and the wisdom and the experience and the fun and the way we're all opened up to each other. We even said, one of the members said, I'm going to miss this group of women when the workshop's over. And I said, well, you know, there are, from these workshops, there are story circles. Yeah. And women continue to share their experiences with each other long after the actual paid workshop writing experience is over. So I imagine that we can evolve this into that, because we won't want to not see each other anymore.
Oh, yeah. And all my life's a circle.
Good old Harry Chapin.
Sunrise and sundown. Right. Yeah, that'll be fun. And you can tell. I set up here at Adam Brothers where we're having this Older Women's Legacy.
And speaking of that, I want to interrupt and say thank you so much to Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House.
Absolutely.
They not only allow us space to hold this workshop, they allow us space to have our podcast here. And it's really a blessing to us to be able to do this. We have a space that people can come and feel at home, and we feel welcome. And that's really a nice atmosphere.
And as long as we're plugging Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House, the phone number is 618-664-9575. And you can call them. Call your lunch orders in ahead of time. And, you know, come by 15 minutes later, pick them up. Or they deliver, you know, here in town. If they know you, they'll deliver easy enough for you. I know they deliver up the street some for...
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Businesses yeah.
around town. Let mm-hmm. it rip. I know Jared's on it. And they've and got some of the best coffee drinks around.
If you haven't tried a dirty chai, you must. Oh,
dirty iced chai is
dirty
what you
iced chai. Oh, man, that's good.
And they're also open late at night now. They're
yeah.
open until 10 o'clock Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty darn cool.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need a... a bald ass bean buzz in the middle of the night. You can.
Well, not in the middle of the night.
Not in the middle of the night. But
through
if
10
you
o'clock.
Want to get one to keep you up all night, this
yeah.
is the place to come.
Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha. So we do want to thank them, because that's where we've been hosting the Owl Memoir Writing Workshop. And then, like I said, we come and do our podcast every week here,
yeah.
too. But some of the neat things in the workshop that the ladies are requested to do through this course is bring something to the meeting that was a keepsake in their family or something they cherished, and then tell about that. Well, that's really a neat opportunity to get to know them, what they value. And we had everything from a doll that was 60 years old.
Oh, wow.
To
a metal square. You had me come out and identify what this is. And I felt like I was one of the guys from This Old House. What's this for?
Well, you know, it's really fun, Don. And I said to these women, just think, you can probably take an owl writing memoir workshop writing class anywhere. But Don doesn't come with all those other ones. So if you want the perk of saying, what's this? Don can tell you. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. And then I want to say what else we ask of you during this class, too.
Well, you know, I can tell you guys are having fun because of the laughter that goes on. You know, I'm sitting in here, you know, being adult and adulting over here on my side of the room. Whenever
you're over
working.
The podcast area, yeah.
yeah. And y'all are over yonder in the next space. And I hear the bursts of laughter that come out. And it is so uplifting to hear,
mm-hmm.
one, you laugh, and two, hear all those girls just go for it. They're, you know, it's
and they're
like,
going to love you even more, Don. You called them girls.
they're fun either way.
Yeah.
And even into their 90s, they're cool.
Sure. And what we were talking about when you said you identified, what was it?
A metal, well, actually it was half of a metal square. You know,
mm-hmm.
Was the casted handle part that usually has the little spirit level and the scratch all in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the scratch all and the spirit level were both intact.
And this was one of many things that had been found in an old chest. And so the other thing that had been found in there by one of our ladies taking the class was a mess kit from the Civil War. So that was so cool. And another thing from one of the other members was an old jewelry box, and it was from the late 1800s. So we're sharing all these things that are interesting in and of themselves through their age and through what they are and being unique. But then when you share the personal story along with that, that's even nicer.
Grandma's old jewelry box, did it still have some of the jewelry in it?
Not that it was brought here. It holds things at home.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of those things don't leave the house. I understand.
And then another one was a great big old vase that was really nice. And then the one really interesting piece, and this is where we called upon you again, Don. It had words written in German, not crocheted.
Needle-pointed.
Needle-pointed in German. And I said, well, Don speaks German after we just drug you out to identify another piece. And then I said, do you...
I didn't speak that German. No. I had to look it up.
Yeah. Well, we thought, we could translate this. We can get a little help from Google. Yeah. And so we found out that it was, a holder of notes, a book of notes.
Yeah.
And that's a good description in that the piece opened up. It was made of cloth, and it opened up. And it currently held... some old needle-pointed, either napkins or hankies.
Okay.
But we didn't know if that's what originally was in that. So when you said, like a book of notes, it could have held anything, stationery or whatever.
Yeah, and the translation is so loose, it could be mm-hmm. it could be book of stuff, the way we'd say it, and it would have fit. So
right.
That's what it was.
So all those things are neat, and the stories that we go, that go along with them. And so it's just been really a delight to get to know these women, and I would encourage anyone that has memories they want to get written down to plan to attend and participate in the next workshop that we have. It'll probably be 2018 because we're going into the holidays and everyone will be so busy. We've mentioned this before. But that might even be a wonderful gift to give someone.
Sure.
Purchase them the 5-session workshop, because today I noticed on Facebook someone had come to our Owl Creek Gazette Facebook page and commented on the magazine, and they had recognized Ann O'Neill Garcia's picture on the cover. And in doing so, they said, they see people 70 and over starting to not have anyone to hand those on down to, the traditions and memories and values that they held. And I said, that's exactly what we're trying to do in the Owl Creek Gazette, is those heirloom skills and traditions and values and practices and principles. We don't want to be lost to the ages. We want to preserve them. So we do that in writing, but that's pretty much what a memoir writing workshop is, only a more personal level. So I thought to myself, boy, this would be great for anyone who says, I want to preserve this for my family.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of shocked to find out that memoir was actually a writing genre. I didn't really have it, a handle on the classification. You got fiction, you got, nonfiction, memoir. I didn't realize that it was its own genre.
So that's extra cool.
It is extra cool.
So anyway, that's been really fun and productive and heartwarming and all those good things. So like I said, on the flip side of some bad news, then there's good news in the mix, and we felt a part of that good news today here.
Exactly. And we are with the 250th coming up. The Saturday before is when everybody's been invited to come down here and stick their two cents in our can, in the microphone.
If you've been a guest, come on down.
Talk in our can. Maybe we get Richard Barth to sing us a song.
Well, I think we could probably work that out. I bet Richard would be game. Hopefully we'll have some people with, some guitars and musical equipment come on down and join us too.
You've invited the Clarks, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's just see who shows up. Mm-hmm. It'll be fun either way. And we obviously can't get all 200 and some guests that have been on. Maybe we've had 150 guests.
Yeah, I was going to say we haven't had 250 guests because we do a few episodes by ourselves. Once in a while, it's just you and me, Don.
Yeah, we'll swamp Adam Brothers with a coffee request on that day.
That'd be good.
Maybe they'll make a whole bunch of coffee for everybody. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun.
And we announced the big 250 episode in the November issue, which brings me around to wanting to talk a little bit about the November issue, too. We had a big announcement.
Well, we did have a big announcement. Can I read it right off
Absolutely.
The front cover?
Absolutely.
Building on two expos, one exposium, and one home show, we are pleased to bring you our fifth annual spring event, the Owl Creek Gazette Self-Reliance and Sustainability Fair. So mark your calendars and plan to attend Saturday, April 14, 2018, at the American Farm Heritage Museum in Greenville, Illinois. We've not got it nailed down as to when to win on that day, but we're pretty close. We're thinking 9 a.m. to 4 or 5 p.m., and it'll be a one-of-a-kind event where fellow travelers from all walks of life can come together to explore the art and science of self-reliance and sustainability. There, I read it to you.
Good.
Here, let me read you the rest of the magazine.
Well, and inside then we have more details, but we're excited. Hopefully, we'll be able to fill the entire building with
stuff,
vendors and presenters. We had two-thirds of it last time.
We did.
And over 300 people participated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, came through the door as, what, everything from attendees to musicians to vendors to speakers to presenters to people who that also enjoyed going on out to the Hills Fort. So there was all kinds of people there in attendance, and they were fellow travelers. Many of them, again, like we talked about, the people who are guests on our podcast are also interested in self-reliance and sustainability and thinking outside the box and being independent and creating their own life by their own choices. So I think we're going to have a great opportunity in 2018 to build on the success of the 2017 venue.
Yeah, and you know, we'll get a hold of people like Bill Johnson and make sure that, if we can, that they've got a contingent of people there to display items at the fort. That's mm-hmm. that's always fun for mm-hmm. anybody to come by and take a look. The musicians, like you said, we're going to work on getting something going for that avenue as well. So you can sit down outside, eat lunch, listen to some tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on in the inside will be all about everything we do.
That's right.
You bet.
We've already got Terry Wickelman, who spoke last event, because that was just April.
It was just in April, right?
She had spoken on the Backyard Sustainability Tour that happens every year in St. Louis. And she was really interesting and had a wealth of knowledge to share as a speaker and also as a vendor.
Maybe we can give her book back. We actually had a great intention to meet up with her again. She left behind a folder. And we've got all the contents of that folder safely tucked away so we can give it back to her for the sustainability tour.
We do.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say was she has purchased a little Bluebird number 13 bus. And I saw it posted on Facebook. And her goal is to take that, she and her partner, and we've talked about this on our members only podcast, but mm-hmm. I wanted to let our regular listeners know that she's coming to the event
with the bus.
With the bus. And it won't be completely done, she said, but they're going to make it as an eco-friendly and energy efficient as possible. And their goal is to take them around to this little
home on wheels.
Right. A home on wheels, a little RV, and they will take it around to fairs and festivals that promote what they believe in. So we'll be one of the first, if not the first, event that they display.
Well, that'll be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to tell her, but I'm going to tell her. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But I just saw today on one of the buy, sell, and trade things that you see on Facebook going by, there's a guy that's got a 67-passenger Freightliner bus, school bus, for $4,500.
I don't know that she wants anything that large, but you could share that with her and see what she has to say. I think you might be dreaming more about that than she is.
Oh, no kidding. I'd have room in there for a man cave. You'd have room in there for a girl cave.
First, we have to figure out how to get our own Gertrude done.
Yeah, well, just gut all the seats out of this thing and, yeah, well, never mind.
In all our spare time.
Never mind. I know that's a lot of
work. Keep it a dream. And we've had a lot of fun delivering this issue of the Owl Creek Gazette. The weather was perfect a couple of the days that we went. And it was interesting because Facebook always pulls up memories for us. And 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago or 1 year ago? I can't remember that we faced this brutal amount of fog.
Oh, man, it was pea soup we were driving through. I think it was just last year.
And it was the scariest thing. And then I came home and posted on Facebook, thank goodness we've made it home. And usually we come home and talk about the places we stopped or who we got to visit with.
Yeah, this year we talked about the fog.
And getting home.
It crept in on not on little cat's feet. This fog was poured on us. It was terrible.
Yes, Carl Sandburg would have to write a different poem about this fog.
You betcha. Yeah, it was terrible.
It was.
And there was no, you couldn't move in it. In 59 years of driving, I'd never seen fog that bad.
Yeah, I was really, really scared. And so when we got home, we were so relieved. And then, so for this time to be so different when the weather was really just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And we got to see all kinds of cool things. The moon coming home one of the evenings was really the biggest, brightest, orangish moon I think I'd ever seen.
Well, and they said, and I, once again, I saw something on the interwebs about this moon that was supposedly another type of supermoon. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they called it a beaver moon, but it was a beaver moon, they called it. And it was just big as a beaver.
I don't know.
It was huge.
We were out on back roads where fields had been cut already. So the corn was down for the most part. Mm-hmm. So it was just wide open space. And there was this gorgeous moon, just like someone had hung it up there for us.
Painted it right there in the sky.
It was just wonderful. So that was a sight. You know, in life, you see certain things that stick with you forever. I think that's a moment in time we'll remember because it was just so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then we were over at Ballard Nature Center, one of our stops when we deliver the magazine, and that we just always enjoy being there. But I think every hedge apple that could be produced
was produced by this one tree.
And it had dropped on the ground. And I took pictures of it, and you said, what, the carnage, because it had been run over, smashed. And then you told me something that was interesting, and I didn't know, was about squirrels liking hedge apples.
Squirrels will eat hedge apples, and it just makes the meat of the squirrel almost unbearable.
Yeah, see, I've never eaten a squirrel. So I've never eaten a squirrel that has eaten hedge apples versus a squirrel that has not eaten hedge apples, so I can't vouch for good or bad one way or another. But I thought that was interesting, a little tidbit.
Well, it is, and squirrels wind up tasting like what most of their diet is.
Mm-hmm.
And
you are what you eat.
But there you go.
Even if you are a squirrel. Well, and we know goats, you know, their milk tastes like what they eat.
Oh, sure. You put peppermint in front of a goat, he's got peppermint. She has peppermint milk.
Well, we used to say when the kids were little and we bought goat's milk, we said we should just take this goat's milk that tastes like peppermint. It would make great goat milk ice cream. Throw in some sugar and you're good to go.
You've got peppermint
ice cream without having to add any peppermint.
Well, and yeah, so I guess all of the mint families will go right through into the milk, and garlic would do mm-hmm. that too. You know, it's an oil.
The savory side of goat milk.
Yeah, you'd have to make... you could make gravy with that. Sausage gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah.
So, see, there's all kinds of twists and turns. And now people are, chefs everywhere are using the savory side of something and the sweet side of something and taking something that you don't normally think of going one way or another and mixing it up. So, yeah.
We'll get those friends down at Green Fend Hippie Farm to see if they can't stuff some garlic in front of the goats and then milk them the next day for us.
Sounds like a plan.
That would be a an interesting gravy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to try it. Really mm-hmm. will. Because, well, that's just what we do.
That's what we do. We're guinea pigs in our own kitchen.
And if it's junk, we'll throw it out.
I can't imagine it being that way. Right. I think it would be tasty. We could throw a little veggie in it and be good to go.
Well, even this morning I made bacon gravy, which is something you're not supposed to do, but I did it anyway.
You rule breaker, you.
It made a red eye gravy. The only thing that I could have done better for it would be to add coffee grounds, but it was, yeah, have you never heard of that?
No, I'm looking at Don for everyone can't see me, but I'm like, coffee grounds gravy, what? Do tell, Don.
Well, red eye gravy, they call it. And sometimes it's just got coffee, sometimes it's got coffee grounds, and it depends on whether or not the joint that makes it is lean. But at any rate, the gravy turned out really, really good. I just cleaned out the pan with a small amount of flour and, poured most of the oil off, but used just what was in the pan, made the roux, added a little milk to it, added a little bit of more milk, added some pepper and some salt, and just kept working it into a gravy that wound up being really good.
Well, and I'm just sitting here still trying to figure out coffee grounds and gravy.
Yeah, well, look it up. We'll look it up. Everybody will look it up.
Okay, you're not going to tell us, then you're going to make us wonder.
There was a place in Centralia.
Uh-huh. He's going to tell us, folks.
I'm going to tell you. That would put coffee and or coffee grounds in their gravy if it needed a little extra body. I understand, but it does add a particular unique flavor.
I think unique is good. Had I not said uck, I would have said unique and interesting. That would have been much more diplomatic. We'll go with that. How's that?
Gives you a reason to pick your teeth and makes you think you're getting pepper. I don't know.
Okay. Well, and something else we saw, and I posted a picture of this on Facebook during our journeys as we delivered the magazine. We came across and so many towns, of course, are getting ready for the Christmas events. And even though we wish that Thanksgiving would take its appropriate place, this is the reality. People are getting ready for Christmas.
That is the reality.
So
we're taking advantage of the weather.
Well, that's partially true. You're right. With the good weather, you never know if you want to wait till December 1st to do something Christmassy. You may be snowed in or iced out or whatever. But we were in Breeze and we were driving through one of the parks, and if we ever have any time, I always say to you, let's go through the local park.
And we do.
We do. Yeah, if we've got the time, we try to do that. And they were putting up, or they had put up quite a bit of their Christmas decorations, and there was the nativity scene. And I said to Don, let's go look at that. It was all white, the figures. And
yeah, they were plywood cutouts, yeah.
Yeah, and we took a photograph, and as we looked at the image, the spotlight on them was shining in a way that just looked like the heavens had opened up, and it had made this really cool, almost like you could envision a star shining down and leading people to the nativity scene.
Yeah. Now, a photographer would have looked at that, like me. I almost call myself a photographer sometimes, but I know it was lens flare of the sodium light fixture that was in the shed that was keeping these figures dry. They were tucked back behind a pavilion shed, and it was just the sodium light fixture that when it hit the lens of the camera, it flared, and it looked like what you said. It looked as if the sky had opened up and was showering these things with light. I understood the mechanics behind it. I went, well, that's cool.
Yeah, whether you understand or not, we didn't anticipate it.
We did not.
It was something we did not notice while I was taking the picture.
Yeah.
And so to see it there, I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah,
so
it was cool.
And I think I even said, cost of delivering the Owl Creek Gazette, our time and gasoline, sights we see along the way, priceless.
That's a fact. And it was fun. And it's always fun going out with you and doing these things. We never know what we're going to see.
We don't. We have a good time doing it. So.
And I may be the curmudgeon sometimes that goes, oh, I don't want to do that.
You may be.
And then when we do it, I will tell you I appreciate it and I'm sorry for being such a curmudgeon.
It's all right. It's a good thing you have me.
It's a good thing I've got you. It's a
I remind
good thing
you
I've
of
got
that
you.
Often.
Yeah, I've been reminded a couple of times that some of my activities keep me alive at night.
Well, I'm just going to tell folks, you are so good to people and so kind to anyone in need. And if someone, an older woman, an older man needs help across the street or out the door or something carried, you see it and you're there, and I really appreciate that. I looked at you, I think, after an argument we'd had, and I said, that will keep you alive, Don.
Keep that up.
Keep that up. That's good.
Well, we have come to the end of another road. This is the end of episode 249. Please join us next week.
Yes, tune in and check out the website, owlcreekgazette.com. If you haven't picked up a copy of the Owl Creek Gazette yet, you can read the November issue. And we've got Button, Who's Got the Button, Story of Button Jars. We've got pizza made with ingredients of the season. We've got our regular authors that write for us every month. It's just a wealth of knowledge, and we're so fortunate to be able to have gotten a group of people together that sometimes come up with their own articles and send them in. Sometimes I can say, would you be able to write something? And they go, sure. So it's a really nice blend of interests and insights and experiences that they share. So we hope you check out the latest issue.
Yeah. And while you're checking things out on the web, go to patreon.com/Creekside and check us out there as well. That's another place that you can click on the magazine and download it. The podcast.
Okay.
Patreon.com, patreon.com/Creekside.
Gotcha.
And that's where you can make a decision for yourself if you'd like to support us. So with that, all I've got to say is see you next week. Yay!
Hey, night, folks.
Take care. Bye-bye.